Hello, and welcome to the Thinking Jew podcast, where we dive deep into Torah and Judaism to uncover its hidden beauty. Come join us as we take a closer look and breathe new life into traditional Jewish ideas. And now, here's your host, Rabbi Moshe Siegel.
Hello, and welcome to episode 30. So I received two questions this week that were both pretty connected. So I figured that would be a great topic to discuss. The first question that I got was, what exactly is the understanding of Havdalah? Havdalah is the ceremony we make after Shabbos in which we take a cup of wine, we smell spices, and we light a candle and make a few blessings, symbolizing the separation between Shabbos and the work week. A second question I received is, what's the understanding of Malava Malka? Malava Malka means escorting the queen, and it's referring to the custom to eat a meal after Shabbos ends, which is our process of escorting the Shabbos queen out. So these are really the two aspects of transitioning from Shabbos to the work week. So I want to spend the next few minutes here discussing where exactly these two concepts came from and what exactly the message we're supposed to take out of them is as we transition from Shabbos to the work week. So the commentaries in explaining all of the parts of Havdalah and Malava Malka have a lot of references back to the very first transition from Shabbos to the work week in the history of the world, referring to the completion of the 7 days of creation going back into Sunday. So let's take a look at the very first Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday from the creation of man, and we'll see as we go through this where exactly the concept of Havdalah comes from and all of the various parts of it find their expression over there. So as you know, on the sixth day of creation, the Torah says that God created man. And the deeper sources explain that what man was supposed to do was he was supposed to exist in the Garden of Eden, elevate that physical world around him, and carry it into Shabbos with him. We all know God commanded Adam to not eat from the tree of knowledge. And our sages teach us that he actually ate from it on that very first Friday. And what's less known is that had man successfully made it to Shabbos that very first day without eating from the tree of knowledge, God would have actually allowed him, and he was actually supposed to, eat from the tree of knowledge and the tree of life on Shabbos itself. But because man sinned, and man ate on that very Friday of his creation, instead of elevating the world, he ended up perverting it and lowering himself from tremendous spiritual heights to much lower ones. Once man sinned, the punishment was supposed to be banishment from the Garden of Eden, going down to a much more physical, lower state of man, and then having the responsibility to climb his way all the way back to that initial level he had while in the Garden of Eden. And that banishment should have been immediate as soon as he committed the sin. However, God, out of his endless kindness, decided to wait until after Shabbos to kick Adam and Eve out of the garden. And the purpose of that was to give Adam the opportunity to taste the world that he's working towards, that world of Shabbos in the Garden of Eden, to experience it so that when he then gets kicked out of it, he understands what he's working towards. And the deeper sources explain that Shabbos in our world still reflects this. On Shabbos, we're able to tap into that same experience that Adam had. Even though he had sinned already, he was able to experience what a true Shabbos was in the Garden of Eden. That same concept exists and is tangible to us nowadays. So when Shabbos finally ends in the garden and Adam is finally banished, there's a certain transition that happens as Adam's leaving his world of Eden to go fulfill his mission in what's basically the same world we live in. And that same transformation happens to us every week as well. We're able to tap into this great holiness of Shabbos. And then at the end of Shabbos, we have to now also go leave the world of Shabbos and transition back to our personal mission in the world. So with this background in mind, let's now go through the parts of Havdalah and Malava Malka and see exactly where they come from and how they transition us into this new week. If you want to familiarize yourself with the Havdalah, it can be found in the classic Art Scroll Siddur on page 618, and I'll also link it in the episode details. So let's start with besamim, the fragrant spices we smell during Havdalah. Our rabbis teach us that on Shabbos, we have a neshama yesera, an additional depth to our soul, an added soul for Shabbos. And when this soul leaves after Shabbos, the smell of the besamim comforts the extra soul as it leaves us. So what does this mean? If you look at the description written in the Torah of the sin of Adam and Eve when they ate from the tree of knowledge, the Torah describes they saw the fruit, they tasted the fruit, and the Torah actually describes the usage of all of the senses in the sin of eating that fruit, except for the sense of smell. And our sages teach us that everything that was involved in that sin became perverted and lowered spiritually through the sin. But since the sense of smell wasn't used in the sin, the sense of smell remained elevated. And therefore, we specifically smell besamim to comfort our neshama yesera, to comfort our elevated soul that's now leaving us, and to remind us that we still have inside of us a connection. Part of us is still untainted and we're still able to work back towards that original elevated status of man. What about the candle? The Medrash teaches us that before Adam sinned, there was a great light that filled the spiritual world that he lived in. And when Shabbos was ending and Adam was being kicked out of the Garden of Eden, it was the first time that the world became dark. The first time that night really existed in a tangible way to Adam. And the Medrash describes that Adam got very scared and he thought perhaps the world was going to end. And God inspired Adam to take two stones and rub them together and to create a fire. When Adam saw that fire, he blessed the bracha of Borim Ori HaEsh, which is the same blessing we say every Saturday night, which commemorates the time in which fire was created. And perhaps on a deeper level, what God was really telling men was that even though you're now going into the darkness of the world, you're leaving Shabbos, you're leaving the Garden of Eden, you're going into your work week, you have the ability to create the fire yourself. You can create your own light through your actions and get yourself back to this greater state of man. And I think it's for the same reason that we make Havdalah, we say this blessing with a cup of wine in our hands. In general, when you look throughout Judaism, we always take a cup of wine when we're in the process of sanctifying or elevating something. When a child has a circumcision, we make the blessings over a cup of wine. A bride and groom under their chuppah, when they're getting married, we make the blessings over a cup of wine. When we bring in the Shabbos, we usher it in with a cup of wine. But when we're leaving the holiness of Shabbos and we're going into the work week, why would we then take a cup of wine? And I think the answer follows, just like God was teaching Adam with the fire, you have that flame inside of you to get back to Eden. The same thing, we're taking a cup of wine, which is elevating, and we're saying we can take this Shabbos and carry it forth with us into the week. We can infuse this spirituality into the week in front of us until we can come back to this pre-sin state and bring the world back to its full completion. So we see that all three parts of the Havdalah process connect back to Adam himself in his transition of leaving Shabbos and really the Garden of Eden for his future life towards the new work week. What about Malava Malka? What about this special meal that we eat to escort the Shabbos queen out? So the Kabbalists teach us a fascinating idea here. They tell us that there's a certain bone in the body called the loose bone. It's in the back of the neck. And this bone only gets satiated from the food that we eat during Malava Malka. And they also teach us when one day we eventually all pass on from this world and our body decomposes, but this bone, the loose bone, never decomposes. And when God reconstructs us in Tchiyas HaMeisim, the time of the resuscitation of the dead, he does it through this loose bone. So it's important to eat Malava Malka in order to satiate this bone and keep it healthy. And the Kabbalists go one step deeper. They ask, why is it specifically this bone that God resuscitates us from. And they explain that since this bone is only satiated by the food of Malava Malka, that means that when Adam ate from the original tree in the Garden of Eden on that Friday, that sin didn't impact the loose bone. The loose bone got no benefit from that. And therefore, similar to the spices, the loose bone remained completely untainted. So when after Shabbos ends, we sit down and we escort the Shabbos queen out, feeding our loose bone, in essence, what we're proclaiming is that we believe in the real eternality of man, and that we are going to be able to, at some point in time, get back to that day of pre-sin Adam, get back to that day of deep, deep connection to God, and we're going to make sure that we're a part of that. So let's just do a super quick recap, and then I'll add one bonus beautiful idea at the end, and then we'll sign off. We learned that Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden on Friday, and despite deserving to be banished on that Friday, God allowed him access to connect to Shabbos even in his sinful state. And us nowadays have that same ability through Shabbos to connect to God on this deeper level, despite being in our sinful state. When Shabbos ended, Adam now went into his new world, and we mimic a lot of those things when we leave our Shabbos and go into our world as well. We drink a cup of wine representing elevating and bringing Shabbos into the future week. We smell the besamim to comfort our additional Sabbath soul because the sense of smell was untainted by the sin of Adam. We make a blessing on a candle commemorating the inspiration that God gave Adam to create fire on Saturday night, representing our ability to add that light back into the world. And we eat a Malava Malka, which supports our loose bone, testifying to our belief that we're going to get back to that pristine state of man and that absolutely deep, infinite connection to God. I'll just finish with a beautiful idea that I heard once from Rabbi Bentzion Klatsko. He pointed out that there's a mitzvah to light Shabbos candles before Shabbos, and there's another mitzvah to light a candle in Havdalah, the Havdalah candle of Saturday night. But there's a big difference between these two. The Shabbos candles we light on Friday night are supposed to be two distinct candles, each one in its own place. But the flame we're supposed to light at Havdalah is supposed to be a torch. It's supposed to be multiple intertwined wicks. And the Talmud explains that why do we light two candles in the beginning of Shabbos? One corresponds to God and one corresponds to the Jewish nation. So Rabbi Klatsko suggested a beautiful idea that when we leave the work week and we enter into Shabbos, we're coming into Shabbos as two separate entities. There's God and there's the Jewish people, each one represented by its own candle. But through this deep connection of Shabbos, through everything we gain spiritually in the world of Shabbos, we connect to Hashem in such a deep way that we now become intertwined with God. That when we leave Shabbos, we light a Havdalah candle that has intertwined mixed with those two separate flames became one combined beautiful flame. And that's the message. We light this candle and we take that into the week with us, saying, Hashem, we've become so connected to you, we're going to carry that light and we're going to light up the world going forward until the entire world knows about the greatness of God and the entire world shines forth with godliness with the coming of Mashiach. I hope everybody has an amazing week.
Thank you for listening to the Thinking Jew podcast and for taking the time to study Torah and deepen your connection to Judaism. If you found value in today's episode, please leave us a rating or review and subscribe to the podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or topic requests for Rabbi Moshe, please email thethinkingjewpodcast@gmail.com or visit thethinkingjew.com.